Hi, I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Coop, and today I get to invite you to listen into a conversation between myself and Dr. Adrienne Leslie Toogood. We are teammates in this Heroes in Our Midst podcast journey, and it seems another season of highlighting incredible humans and what we can learn from them has passed us by. So, it seemed fitting to sit down and take a look back at all we've learned together. So Adrienne, you know, here we sit and look back at yet another season of Heroes in Our Midst, and you know, not just thinking back to the beginning of this last season, but thinking back to the beginning of it all, like 2020, I said to someone just the other day, did it even happen? Like, did COVID happen? Did we do that whole thing? Did stuff stop? Like, and of course it did. And we remember it well in some ways. And yet it just was like so surreal. And I know that's when you and I, you know, you called me and sort of Heroes in Our Midst became a thing. And tell everyone, I mean, it was your brainchild. You sort of had this moment where you're like, this is what we should do.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love the way it came together. And I'm just so thankful for your partnership on this. And I think what happened for me is I think when that global pandemic hit, and originally it started very much with sports stories. And for me, and I think for you, we've been embedded in sport our whole lives. And for us, if someone just thinks about the value, we know in every pore we have the value of sport. And I have the privilege of sitting here and watching people learn and grow and accomplish great things. And I, you know, what it takes to accomplish those great things and the personal challenges you overcome. So I think that in COVID, we were really trying to think about what to prioritize and what to value. And people were confused about the role of sport. Should we value it? Should we keep it going? Should it be a priority? And I think what I wanted to do was I just wanted to share some of these stories so that people could understand and see the value that sport has in terms of the contributions to our world and our society and the leaders that we develop, the incredible people we develop by having to do that. So that was the start of it. And then I was thinking, and you know, I'm a bit of a Trojan horse person a little bit, and I think stories are so powerful. And I remember, you know, I don't remember much from school because it was a few years ago, but for some reason, I just remember, this resonated with me, and I had a teacher and they were talking about Margaret Lawrence. And Margaret Lawrence is an author, a Manitoba author, and she was very critically acclaimed, yet sometimes at points in time misunderstood. And one of the main critiques of her writing was that it was about everyday people. And I remember that her response to that was that if you don't value every person that you interact with and understand that everyone has an ability to teach you, then you're missing out on the heart of like most of your life, you know? And that just really struck me. And so Heroes in Our Midst was that intersectionality of that and just being able to sit back and tell stories. And then the last piece is, because as you know, I'm very thoughtful about all these things. The last piece was there was someone named Sindra Kampoff. And during COVID, there were so many unbelievable resources that we can listen to. And Sindra Kampoff is a person down in the States who works as a mental performance consultant. And she works with, you know, the Vikings, which is a very popular team, as your family would know, Michelle. Yeah. And, you know, she's from Minnesota and she was about to do a TED talk. So as you know, just tons of preparation went into that and everything was canceled. And her way of dealing with all that knowledge and wisdom she acquired was to, you know, call up many of the performance psychology people she knew in the world and just have conversation. And so she was having conversations with all these people. And the last episode in her series, she had a colleague of hers interview her, who is a professional media person. And when I listened to that, like, she's great. We're all like, all of us performance people are unbelievable, but it's not our profession. And so when I listened to the person interview here, I was like, oh, that is different. It sounds so much better when the real interviewer is asking the questions. And so that's where I was like, okay, I have this idea of what I want to do, but I think I need to bring in a real interviewer. So then I reached out to you. And yeah, you know, we had, you know, we grew up and, you know, we were playing university sport at the same time. And, you know, we were just very similar people and very similar energy, but, you know, we raised our families and we hadn't even seen each other for years. And so for me, I think maybe the best thing that's come out of this is I've had the privilege and opportunity to hang out with you, who I think has become one of my very close friend, colleague, someone I love. I always knew I loved you, but I love you even more now. And, you know, we've been on this adventure together and we just have such similar spirit and energy. And I think we're both about holding people up and showing them how they shine, you know, and ultimately this is what this podcast is about. We've had an opportunity to have conversations with incredible human beings that we can't believe are willing to talk to us. And we've been able to sit back and grow as people through them. And I know we're just so thankful for every person we've spoken with. So Hero started as sport in season one. And then season two was this intersectionality of let's just share stories. And so then we started to sort of dip our toe into other conversation. And I would say that season three has been a combination of sport and non-sport. And, you know, one of the things that I think, and then I'll stop talking because it's been a very long answer to this question, a little passion, I've always just, for me, sport's a metaphor for life. And I think the wonderful thing about sport is you have this opportunity to test yourselves and moments matter. You know, a season matters. It's very like it's capped. You only have so much time. And one of our guests spoke so eloquently about that. You know, Catherine Redford Lelo, and she has terminal brain cancer. And she said she lives in 2 month chunks because that's when she gets her scan. And so she lives her life like sport, where you're like, okay, I have 2 more months. What do I want to prioritize? What do I want to do? In sport, moments matter. How you show up matters. And then, it's public and everyone talks about it. And so you're forced, your hand is forced to really do it. But gosh, it's a metaphor for let's all live that way. Moments matter. Our lives matter. It's maybe way more important than sport, So maybe we should take that sport mindset to like the moments of our lives. How do we want to show up in relationships? How do we want to show up to other people? How do we want to learn and grow? Because you know what? In sport, you have to show up tomorrow. And you know what? Some of us don't always show up the next day when it's hard. And so what does it mean if, yeah, I do need to show up tomorrow for my teammates because my coach is believing in me? And how do we do that in our everyday lives? And so I think these are big questions we're all wrestling with. And I think we're naturally curious about that. And thank goodness for our guests who are helping us to continue to learn and grow in that. So I don't even know the original question, Michelle, but I
Oh,
was
we
just
were just start. We were just
going.
talking about how it all started, and
Yeah.
I think for me too, having been in sport and starting it with athletes and all of that, and you're talking about the parallel of life and sport, and I always say that to people. I say, when I'm coaching, if I've been coaching young athletes, I said, in what environment can we have this intense feelings? This level
Yeah.
of intensity of feelings, because we cry when we lose. We literally cry tears of sadness and disappointment and regret and remorse and wishing we could go back and all of those things. But it happened in a sport. So
Yeah.
all that really happens, and the result, all that it really is you walk out of a gym and you have these sad emotions and these really
Yeah.
like, and they feel deep. They're real. Like those emotions are real. You lose sleep for 2 weeks as a coach. If we lost the 14U national club championship with my little 14U boys. They're 13 years old. No one died. No one, had a
Yep.
life-threatening illness. It was a volleyball match. It was a tournament that we really, really, really wanted to win. So even my two sons who were on that team had to understand that they could have tears about that. But we woke up the next day. And we took another step forward and we waded our way through, I even got to share with my kids and my team, like the boys, and saying, like, I couldn't sleep last night. I couldn't sleep last night because I was so sorry for you guys that I couldn't help you win that. That I didn't make the right decision or that I couldn't do something to help that happen. But the reality is we couldn't go back and get that. And that was in sport.
And all of that is so beautiful. And that's what the way I talk about it. I talk about it as full colored living. And, a lot of times we're saying it's okay to not be okay. And I'm like, no. It's necessary to not be okay at times. If
Yeah.
you're going to care deeply and love something a lot. And so it almost gives you permission to step into that space and feel deeply about something, which is very human and very beautiful and wonderful. And yeah, so I love that you had that experience. Yeah, sport gives us permission to feel. Sport
Yeah.
gives us permission to go all into something and, see how we do and then package it up. And it was interesting. I think I can't remember if I've chatted about that in this forum or not, but there was, the explorer in residence concept and why do people love sports so much, and I was watching, I was reading the paper once and there was this explorer in residence and I didn't know what that was. So I'm like, what is an explorer in residence? And as I looked it up, I saw that, oh, Canadian Geographic, National Geographic, they literally hire a person to go explore places that no one's ever seen before. And they go and they explore this place, and then they come back and they share with the rest of people like what that place was like, and everyone learns and grows through them. What's beautiful about sport is it allows us all our own inward exploration. We get to go to places that we've never explored before because it challenges our limits. And we get to then come back and talk about that, talk about what we learned. And I think that's why people watch professional sport, fund professional sport, want to be part of that journey, because maybe in our day-to-day lives, we don't have that same opportunity or chance to challenge our limits in that way. And we want to see, what is that like for you? What did you learn about yourself? How did you grow? And in sport, the unbelievable thing is that we all have that same permission to journey in that way. And so I just love that concept, but how beautiful that you were able to be, you know, support and hard. And it's also hard, and hard is okay.
And hard is okay. And then the other thing I noticed as I was talking to more and more of these athletes, and what was so cool, Adrian, is the opportunity came because of your line of work, which is confidential behind closed doors. You aren't allowed necessarily to say who said what, unless they are willing to share their stories. And if they share them, they're their stories to share. So you hear the deepest parts of these athletes and the deepest struggles. And then you knew which ones that had chatted with you were willing to share their story without coercion, without just saying, hey, you know, you seem like you would love to share this story so other people can learn from your struggle or learn from, you know, where you came and where you went. And I think that opened doors to some, first of all, incredible world-class athletes. And what I love about heroes is there's validity because they're Olympians. Why is it in society that we listen to Olympians and we listen to gold medalists and world champions? Because we're human and we like to listen to those people. They've done something that we couldn't do, or that, you know what I mean? Like there's somewhere that we sort of dream of being. And so we want to listen to them, but then we spend so much of our lives thinking, if I could just be them, everything would be good. If I could just be Cindy Clausen, everything would be good for the rest of my life. But then you hear Cindy Clausen's story, and not everything was always good. Mm-hmm. She's had exactly the same kind of journey that any human being has had: struggles, doubts, not confidence, then confidence, all of those things. You talk to so many of them. We could go through every single list. And that's why these people shared their stories, because they have these ups and downs, right?
And maybe that's even more important nowadays in the world of social media and like portraying positive image. You know, we post the good stuff, we post the great stuff. And you know, I was at, I was with an athlete, and Gene Moeller was there as well. And it was an athlete that was working towards an Olympic Games and going into a trials. And a bunch of people came out to watch a performance, and it didn't go well. And the athlete was upset. The coach was upset. And Gene Moeller, who actually has been one of our guests on our other podcast, come to think of it. You know, I remember he walked over to me and he said, you know what? This is what people need to see. People don't see these moments. And these are the moments. And he said to me, he looked at me, he said, this athlete is going to succeed because of this moment. And people need to understand that those are necessary moments on the journey to greatness. And that's where sometimes we get caught in our head and we start telling ourselves stories about it. And that's the other thing about this too. I think we're trying to normalize the human experience through this, Michelle, as we're talking, you know, we're trying to normalize all that because we don't talk about it. And I think we want to, we're not sure where to start. And so the other thing we love about these conversations, and we've seen coaches do, is they've all as a team listened to these conversations. And then what they've done is it's allowed them to wade into waters and speak differently. Because as you said, a successful Olympian, you know, our very first episode was Chantal Van Landegem, an Olympic medalist in swimming. It was the first medal won for Team Canada in Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah.
Now, Chantal stands on the foundation of deep pain and failure, you know, and that was the theme that we called that podcast. She was her very first episode. So she had success. Another example is on professional golfer Corey Connors. Everyone's like, oh my gosh, Corey Connors, unbelievable. He's one of the only Canadians in history to ever win two PGA Tour events. Well, you know what? He won one event. He started 101 other events that he did not win. And then he won another event. So how do we sustain ourselves physically and emotionally through 101 losses so we're eligible for another win? And how many of, like, you know, the way we're doing sport and life, are we creating cultures of excellence so that we are able, so excellence is sustainable? You know, the way we think about it, the way we support each other, you know, we're all on our own journey and success looks different and the path is different, and let's keep it open. So that's the other thing too, is I think we're really trying to normalize the conversation through heroes in our midst. Mm-hmm. We're all people at the end of the day. It doesn't matter what you've accomplished. You have doubts and worries and you've had bad days and you're not sure you're enough. Totally. You are not sure that you're enough to make this happen. And you know what? You don't have to change who you are. It's more about getting to know yourself deeply and understanding the way you work so that you can show up authentically as yourself and you know how to manage it so you can get consistency out of your performance when it matters most. Mm-hmm. And then you learn and grow and you debrief, you learn and you grow.
It's interesting how even if some of these top athletes, you know, they've set these goals and some of them never reach what they wanted to do. They don't like, there's so many high level athletes that never become the world champion. Maybe they got a silver or they got a bronze. Yeah. Right. And it's so incredible to listen to
them. Maybe they never became an Olympian. Maybe they never even, you know, and we personally know people that's their story and it's, yeah.
Yeah.
Go on. I'll cut you off.
No problem. Like just how do they deal with that? And then how do they do tomorrow? Right. They have the qualifier, you know, and she wasn't in this last season. She was in the season before this Morgan Rackle. I will never forget her story. Yes. If you have a chance to listen to Morgan Rackle's story, player number 16 on our national women's softball team, yep, going to Tokyo, right? Like she went, like that's how far she went. She went with them and then she got cut in Tokyo, like right before the games.
Yeah. The last cut. Yeah. She never became an Olympian. No. And she also selflessly helped that team win a medal because of her contributions.
Yeah.
And I think we all have to, yeah, we, you know, reflect on how we want to live those moments and what's the story we want to be proud to tell at the end of our lives. And the thing with Morgan, what a great example that, you know what, there's a lot that we can't control, but it doesn't mean that we don't want to strive, you know? And so do we take ourselves out of the game? Do we, you know, establish things that make it more challenging for ourselves, or do we go all in and allow ourselves to be really broken when it doesn't happen? Mm-hmm. And I, you know, I just, for me, again, it's about, you know, living fully and really embracing the challenge. And I agree. That was a very powerful story. And I think the other thing that I love is the space you create for those stories, because Morgan spoke to us like just after she flew home and she, you know, it was you just create a space, and that's what's beautiful about every one of these interviews. I know the other thing too, is I think when we did, I thought it'd be, you know, amazing for people to hear the stories, but what we're hearing repeatedly is the joy that people feel in telling their story and sharing it with others. And, you know, it's part of their healing process. It's part of their contribution. And it is their unique lived experience. There's no other person on earth that can tell the story that way. Mm-hmm. There's no one else that's had the experience and felt it the way they felt it and worked through it the way they've worked through it. And that's what's incredible, you know, is it's such a gift to be able to share them.
Yeah. You know, Adrian, I remember at one point you and I were chatting about, you know, and as you enter this podcast world, you're always striving. Sure. You'd love 10 million people to listen to your podcast. You'd love it for it to just go viral and blow up and everyone in the world. Cause we love these stories and we genuinely, not just to have all the subscribers and followers really, but that's so people could hear these real stories and actually be benefiting from them. And then, you know, there are at least like, well, so many of the guests have said, you know, thank you for letting me tell my story. Hey, thanks for wanting to hear my story. Like I didn't know that people would want to hear my story. And we are like, are you kidding me? You didn't know that, or, you know, and even in the conversations, how, you know, we say people just want to be seen and heard and, you know, honored and respected. A lot of people talk about that when we've asked the question, what do people want from their jobs right now? Yeah. And that, you know, that's even in our other podcast, but some of those things have come on. What do people want from life? What do they want from their teammates? What do they want from, you know, their coaches? You know, they want to be seen and heard. And even through this podcast, you know, in the conversations, it's been so neat. And I think we've said, hey, if that's all that comes of this, that the people that we are letting tell the story, if they're positively, you know, affected by this, maybe that's enough, you know?
You know, I love that. And it sort of triggers something else in my brain as well. And, you know, something that when people are doing these really hard things, one of my goals is really for them to be whole and at the end of it and come out in a positive way so they can live the rest of their life. And one of the things that's so powerful about telling your story is it's part of your healing and it helps you make helps you make sense kind of your story, because as you said, not everyone wins that medal, but everyone, you know, everyone has a story to tell. And I think it helps you to integrate it into your story and experience so that you can hold your head high and understand how you've learned and grown as a person through that. When you look at like PTSD and trauma and really hard things, a lot of times it, you know, just kind of gets stuck in the brain, and we have to process it and integrate it. I do think that things happen to us and they shape us, they change us. And we really need to take the time to unpack it and learn and grow. And that's one of my favorite things when we talk about, you know, people who are, you know, psychologically resilient. And one of the, you know, one of the really important parts of that is that they embrace the opportunity to learn and grow through challenge. We can't always choose what happens to us, but how do we learn and grow? How does it help us become? And as you know, one of my favorite stories is the Velveteen Rabbit. I love that story. My mom used to, you know, read it to me at nighttime, never made it through because she was a crier, Michelle. But I love that story because that story is about becoming. Yeah. And, you know, they talk about, you know, for those that don't know, it's a story that was based out of the UK and with the scarlet fever, which is so relevant because now we've gone through a pandemic, and yeah, it was about stuffed animals and how, you know, a stuffed animal became real when it became the stuffed animal that a child chose to love while they were really sick. And so the Velveteen Bunny was chosen by a boy who had scarlet fever. And, you know, he was a little anxious because this whole becoming thing. And so he was talking to the other toys. And the little rocking horse was very honest. And he said, oh my gosh, you know, I've been chosen and I think I'm going to become real. Like, is this going to be hard? And the rocking horse was, yes, it is. It's going to be really painful, but you know what? You're probably going to lose an ear and an eye, and it's going to be, you know, a really rough go. But by the time it all happens, you know, you're going to become, and becoming's hard. And you know what, when you do that, you can't unbecome. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the only people who won't understand is the ones who haven't gotten there. And so that's the way I try and conceptualize it. You know, every experience we have, it's part of learning and growing and becoming whatever we're meant to become in this world. And all these experiences are opportunity. And maybe that's one of the things that's hard is I think we're all trying to decide coming out of COVID is, you know, we're safe and cautious, and when do we lean in and when do we don't? And you know what, it's, we all have to become, and we all have to try again. We all have to get out there again. And maybe that's what's beautiful about, you know, sport too, is it gives us that opportunity to take another step forward. And I think for me, that's where my passion was in terms of, no, we can't not do sport, you know, like mm-hmm. we can't not live. We have to live even when there's all this hard stuff going on in our world right now.
Yeah. The becoming part is interesting too, because you don't know the end result when you are doing the becoming, when you're doing the hard stuff, you don't know the end yet. If you could know the end, you could do the becoming, because then you knew you were working towards the positive result. But that's I think one of the most valuable.
You have to let go a little bit. You have to trust a little bit.
You do. And you have to accept, and you mentioned it before, but you have to accept the fact that you might do all of this learning and all of this growing and all of this hard stuff, and you might still not win, but you have won because you were willing to do it. And you know, that whole jumping in with both feet and being willing to cry when you don't get something. If you're never willing to cry, you'll never give enough to actually get it, right? You'll never get it.
And you know what I want to, you were one of our guests in seasons one. And one of the things that, you know, I want to just talk a little bit about your story of that, because I think it's so powerful in this context. And, you know, parents might listen to our stories. Parents are struggling with, how do I help my kid be resilient? And I remember, you know, you had a struggle. No one wanted a 5'6", et cetera. And the only team that would take you was across town. And I also remember you went to the Olympic Games and you were the starter and you were not. And there was part of you that really wanted your dad to say to you that that coach is in a jerk and they're not seeing it the right way, but your dad never said that. Mm-hmm. And I think that was so powerful. And when I look at you, you're such a powerful woman, and you create the life you want. You step into space, and also you live the life you want. You have so much talent and skill, and you could do whatever you wanted, but yours is so value driven, and you give back to your community and you live your way. And I can't help but think about your path, and you had to keep going. It was not easy for you. And I watched the way you live now. And I think that, you know, all parents' goal would be to raise a child like you. And so I think that when you think back to your parents, you know, your parents didn't hate the coach who was down the street who didn't take you. Your parents just said, oh, that's the coach who wants you. We're going to drive hours every week multiple times to take you to this practice. And it was nonsensical. And it wasn't to make the Olympics. Your parents weren't thinking about you making the Olympics back then.
No.
Your parents were thinking about, my child wants to do this and I'm going to support them in the journey. I don't know where this journey will take us. And how beautiful is that? So I want to link that to what you were just saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. And I think part of, you know, part of how I've decided, I suppose, to live my life is what's so inspiring about talking to all these people that, you know, some people that have perceived power, that have perceived greatness, you know, and I remember deciding, you know, that I wanted in life, you know, to be married and to have children and all of those things. And with that comes a great dose of humility, you know, and an everydayness about that. And right, like at 2 a.m. when you're feeding your children and you're keeping 2 human beings alive, but absolutely zero TV cameras or newspapers really care about that story. You know, they cared absolutely a lot more about you bopping a ball around at an Olympic Games, you know? But I think for me, I remember one time somebody said to me, you know, you live in the hometown that you grew up in. It's kind of small. And, you know, don't you want to like be, I don't know, you could be on like TV or, you know, I don't know, do the big sports broadcasting thing. And I entertained all of it. And I think all of it I would have loved. But a saying that went through my mind was, which really is one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this podcast and love it so much, is, do I want to be known by more people or do I want to be more known? And in my hometown, I am known by the people who listen to my radio show, my morning show, and people who listen, you know, here I think both is good, especially if we have something great we want to share with the masses. That would be lovely. But when your goal, I think, is to be known, the product will always be valuable because it's not just about how can I get 1 million people to buy my stuff? How can I get one person to be affected by the stuff that we are saying and that we are sharing? And that for me is this.
That's one of the most powerful, that's just such a powerful quote and really resonates for me. And I feel like, and again, maybe the influence of social media coming out of COVID, what we're talking about in terms of people want at work. I do think that people want to be more known right now. And I think people are a bit scared and they don't know where to start. There's a vulnerability to that. And perhaps it starts with kind of unconditionally accepting and loving yourself. And then it's safe to become more known because really it doesn't matter. You know, it doesn't matter. Like, I know I'm enough. I know I'm good. And now I'm going to put myself out there and see, but I love what you're saying. And the other piece too, is I think there's no right path. And, you know, the other thing we've done in this season in particular is we've talked to some incredible females. You know, we have talked to females who have lived their own life and path. And I think as females, I think one of the things that's really important is we give space and permission for all women to choose the path that's right for them. Mm-hmm. And I've been a little bit the same as you, Michelle, and I've made a lot of family first decisions. And there's not one of them that I regret. And I remember when my children were quite young, my son was going to kindergarten, I think, or something. And I remember I had walked them to school and I was watching them run across the field. And as I saw that, I was like, wow, I'm so glad I fought for that time because it's hard. And, you know, you get messaging, you've worked hard. And they just haven't been the right decisions for me, but for other women, they've stepped in and it was the right decision for them, which is unbelievable. But I think at the end of the day, we all have to give each other grace and understanding and to just hope that everyone is living a life and they have a quote that resonates for them. And that's what they come back to help them make decisions. So that's maybe what I sense in you is that you are really happy because you're living an authentic life and you're doing it in a way that fits and makes sense for you. So you love your life regardless of where it is.
I think it's important to say too, that it's not that there haven't been days where I have said, is this it? Is this what I'm doing? But then when that's where you have to reevaluate, think again, and this I've learned from you, Adrienne, what is your why? What is your why? And then I have to reevaluate, like, so why am I thinking that today? I wish I was this. I wish I was this. Where are those wishes coming from? Mm. Okay. So from that superficial layer of me that is human and real and would be kind of fun, but then what would I sacrifice, right? What would I sacrifice to get something that I don't have? And the harmony in my life. And I also have learned that from Sarah Orleski about, because I used to always say, but the balance in my life would be off. The balance in my life has always been off. Ask my husband. The balance has always been off. But that harnessing, you know, what's your why? Then you have those moments where you wish for something else, but you can come back to why. And really inside, you know, but I want people to know I'm not just sort of woo happy all the time because I'm doing this, you know, real value-based thing. Like I think that is the core of my joy. One thing I want to say, I want to turn tables a little bit because you've said some things about me, but what I think is really cool about Heroes in Our Midst, Adrienne, because of you in your relationship and you were just saying, which made me think of this, how creating safe space and how people want to be known. And I think that in your practice and in your working with athletes, what has blown me away when you talk about them is you never talk about, because sometimes I think if I were you, a performance psychologist or a sports psychologist, there's many terms and titles we could give you. I would think that over, especially in these last 3.5 years where we've talked a lot about, you know, the athletes you've worked with, even in anonymity when I haven't known, yep. But just examples of, as we've been gathering stories, you saying, well, this athlete will talk about this, or, oh, this athlete will share their story. I've never heard you say, we were at this PGA event, or we were at this World Championship swim meet, and I was so nervous that they wouldn't win because then the coach might let me go because I didn't give them the mental strength they needed to win. I've never heard you talk like that. I've never heard you be worried about results because I have always really felt from you that you know that the results will come because of the wellness you are trying to afford the athlete that you're working with, which I think is why I think when you have asked them, hey, will you talk to Michelle about, you know, your story? They feel safe doing it because they know you would never do that just to get results. And I think that's really important. And I think I have valued that as well in knowing that they are completely comfortable sharing their most vulnerable parts of themselves because they trust you first and they've gotten to know you as you've gotten to know them. And again, that's being known as a human being, not a swimmer, not a tennis player, not a runner, not a, you know, not a football, big, tough football guy. But my name is Adam Big Hill, and I will talk to you because I believe that if Adrienne says I can talk about this, I'm in a safe space. So I have to say that I think that that correlation of you already letting them know it's safe and hopefully me letting them know that whatever they say really is okay, because it's their story. There is no right or wrong answer. It's what they've lived. It's their lived experience, you know, and how can we not learn from each other in complete honesty about our lived experience?
Yeah, none of us know the end result, right? I think what you said is really important. I think that people in those situations have so much pressure on themselves. And it's, yeah, there's no way I want to add to that pressure-filled backpack. You know, I'm gonna care about you the same way. And, you know, it's just, again, it's information, lessons learned, and we stand on the foundation of it and we learn. And as you said it, that and some things, I was thinking about, it's interesting because I feel like as we're having this conversation, we're kind of unpacking what we love about these conversations in this podcast. And, you know, I'm like, another thing I really love is kind of in a way what you've been saying is there's openness. Like you go into the conversation and you don't know where it would go. You don't know what we're going to learn. It's not like you have, you know, you allow it to unfold and you see where you get. What a beautiful way to live life and relationship, right? Like I think sometimes when we're having conversations with people, we maybe don't allow as much space for that. Mm-hmm. We kind of go and think, okay, we have to get there. We have to talk about it. Like, imagine if we were just like, I'm going to show up as I am. I'm going to get them to show up as they are and we can figure it out together. Mm-hmm. Let's navigate it. Let's figure it out. It's incredibly important. And yeah, my worth and value has nothing to do with how an athlete that I work with performs. And you know what? I absolutely may not be the right person for you. And I want you to have permission and space to figure that out. You know, I want you to have the best person in your life to help yourself succeed. And I want us to understand whether that's me or whether that's someone else. And that's perfectly fine. But I think it's so incredibly important. And, you know, you can think of that in a lot of performance contexts, and it's really hard as parents, as coaches, as a boss, you know, how do we give space for people to go and do their best and learn and grow, and how we, you know, our identity is not on the line with how they perform, because that's a lot less pressure. And so that gives a lot more ability to be great when all that's not on the line every time you show up.
Yeah. Ability to be great, the freedom to be great. And I think we all want to be great to a certain extent. We want to feel that we are okay and that we are doing a great job where we are. You know, that's what we're striving for. You know, we're not striving to do a mediocre job. We're striving for performance, high performance, and yet being well while we do it. And that's what Heroes in Our Midst is about. They're living amongst us. They've done these incredible things. So they have a platform to talk about it. We will listen to them because they're on the Winnipeg Blue Bombers, or they, you know, or like Neil Creighton works with all of them, keeps them all healthy. And then here's all their stories, you know, that kind of thing. Or I don't know, you know, Venla Hovi is on like the Finnish national women's hockey team and then wins a big national championship with the University of Manitoba. Like the accomplishments for sure are there, you know, but the struggles along the way and then said successes, right, is what we're striving for and what only they can help us understand so well. So it's been an amazing marriage of all of that in making Heroes in Our Midst sort of the great podcast that we love sharing with people.
Their accomplishments are there, and so is their humanity.
Heroes in Our Midst. What a pleasure to be able to highlight some of our guests along the way today, but also to share our hearts and our passion for all of it. We hope you've enjoyed our conversation, and please do check out some of our past episodes. You can find them wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Just remember, Heroes in Our Midst, and you'll find your way there. You can also head to drtoogood.com, a website where all of our conversations live, essentially. You'll find resources there too. I'm Michelle Sawatsky-Koop, honored that you would take the time to listen. We will certainly continue to share the stories of the incredible humans we come in contact with. And as Adrian said right at the beginning of this chat, we all learn from stories. Perhaps it's the very best thing. Thanks for being here. We'll talk to you again soon.